We turn to Joshua 3, hear God's word. And Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, or in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that you may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, if you were among the people of Israel at this period of time and you were standing on one side of Jordan and looking across at the fortifications of the city of Jericho, you might wonder, how are we going to get across? There are no bridges. They didn't have a lot of boats. There was absolutely no way for them to go across. And at this time, the River Jordan was at its fullness, and it was a formidable river. It was impassable at this time of the year. But yet God said to Joshua that he was going to let the people pass over on dry ground. They were going to go across this river because God in his grace was going to stop this river and allow Israel, all 2 million people, at about how many they think there might have been at that time. That's a lot of people that have to go across the river. And they all went across the river on dry ground. Whatever the depth and the breadth of the Jordan was, it was evident that it was an impassable obstruction in Joshua's time, the flooding time. And when you looked at it, that's all you could see, and all they could see was the facts that faced them. They had no ability on their own to go across this river. And by nature, we're self-confident and we practice self-reliance. By nature, we look at what are our abilities? What can I come up with? What can I do? What can I accomplish here in this or that situation? But what Israel had to do was to repudiate their self-confidence and stand in the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to them, as we have that righteousness of Christ imputed to us, disown our own wisdom, our own power, and rest in the Word of God. And the Word of God was, you're going to go across the river. And that's the account that is given in chapter 3 of the book of Joshua. He gives instructions to Israel in verses 1 through 6. And then in the following verses, he gives the indication of how this crossing took place. Notice that Joshua says, you're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant. That's the first time the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned since its time in early on when it was formed in Egypt, or after they came out of Egypt. They were to follow the Ark of the Covenant because they were no longer having the cloud to cover them and the pillar of cloud to lead them. Remember the pillar of fire and the cloud that kept them from the Egyptians and then led them as they went through the desert? That is no longer the case. They are to look at what? Not the river, but they're to look at the Ark. They are to look at the Ark because the Ark of the Covenant was the Ark that indicated God was mercifully present among his people. He was present, and it is the Ark of God's covenant that is to lead Israel across the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan. It was not going to be any of the people that did anything. They weren't going to build a quick bridge. They weren't going to find a way to cross over the river. They were to follow the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to follow it almost a 3/4 mile away, 2,000 cubits away. They were to see it. They were to look at it. They were to watch it. They were to follow it. And it was the Ark of the Covenant that was there to indicate that God was leading them. God was going before them. And that God was not only going to go before them and lead them, but that he was going into the land. And the people of God, following the Ark of the Covenant, were to go in under the presence of God, who was present with them in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was God's presence with his people. Where did God come to dwell among his people? In the tent, the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. In the middle of the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And it was there that on the mercy seat, God would speak his word of grace and his word of the law. He would speak his word to his people through the Ark of the Covenant to the leaders of Israel, and then they would be hearing God's word and they would be able to follow what he indicated. The word of God should be that which leads each and every one of us today. We don't see the Ark of the Covenant, but we have the fullness of the word of God. We have the fullness of the word of God, which became flesh, as John says in John 1. And he dwelt among us. And as he dwelt among us, John says, we beheld the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ who through his word speaks to us today and tells us how we are to live and what we are to do. It is his word, his law, his assurance of his presence with us that extols his power, his grace, and his glory, that tells us how his dominion is going to be carried out, that we might have to not fear, but walk by faith in his word that comes to us through the word that he has given us. And we have that word today, the word which teaches us that God is our God. He is Lord of heaven and earth, as it says here in this passage. And remember, in chapter 2, that's exactly what Rahab the prostitute said as well. The God of heaven and earth, not the phony gods, not the gods of philosophy, not the gods of our own imagination, not the gods that we create, But the God who created all things, the Lord of heaven and earth, of time and of eternity, he works all things according to his plan. He created the history of planet earth, and he is carrying out his purposes and his will, and all things go on according to God's purpose and will. In every circumstance, in every life, everything that happens in your life, everything that happens in our life, everything that goes on is under the will of God. And that's why Paul can write in the New Testament, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. When you know that passage in Romans and you know that it's the word of God, you know that nothing in your life is outside of God's power. The bad things that come into your life are directed by God to instruct, to help us, to take our faith and to shape it and to mold it, to guide us, to tell us what he wants us to do. No matter what we face, no matter what problem is before us, God is there. He will not forsake us, and he is carrying out his purpose for his people, because he is God, and he is not only the God who is transcendent in glory, but the God who is present in power and in grace. He's the same eternal God that the people in Israel saw with the Ark of the Covenant. The eternal God who is powerful, who rules over all things. That's what the point is in this passage. God is the one that is leading Israel over to do what? He is going to conquer who? And, well, they're all listed here. All the Ittites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All of these people, God says they are all going to come under judgment and under the power of God. God is going to deliver them to Israel's hand. They're going to be under this leadership of Joshua, just as they were under the leadership of Moses, who spoke God's word, who declared that God is the victor. And here is a picture of God's judgment. As this ark moves forward and parts the Red Sea, God looks down and he sees the people that are going across, his own people. But he also knows that they're going to go into the land that he has judged. And he also has judged that land. Remember when he said earlier on in Genesis that when the time of the Amorites is fulfilled, he would bring his judgment upon them. That time has come. And the ark is the symbol of God's judgment, but it's also the symbol of his mercy, because what was on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat of God from which he spoke. He spoke not only as the God of law, which the ark contained, that's where they placed the Ten Commandments, but he also spoke as the God of mercy and the God of grace, who through the Day of Atonement, which Israel observed, and through Christ, our atonement, who came and died and gave his life as a ransom for sinners, is the God who brings the blood of the covenant, so that through the blood of the covenant, we might have the forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what is going on with the Ark of the Covenant. It's not some symbolic act where they are to simply look at this. They are to see God is present with them. The ark is moving forward, conquering the sea that stands at attention before him. And it is under God's power so that all of the people of Israel will cross on dry ground. But notice that they are told you are to stand back and stand away from the ark for 2,000 cubits. So that what? Verse 4 says, so that you may know the way to go. They needed to know the exact way to go, the exact purpose of God. They needed to stand back, and every one of them could see the ark clearly from that distance. And they could see the will of God as he parts the sea and then as he moves the people of God onto the dry ground of Canaan. into the promised land, and by following the ark, not some committee's instructions, not some group of people that say, oh, we should have gone over down to such and such a city because that's where the river is a little bit smaller and we could have all crossed over there. No, God says you're going to go across the river. It's at its verge of being the highest that it's ever been. And God says you're going to cross the river on dry ground. Follow the ark. Now, with that instruction in mind, what do you think the people of God would do? Well, I don't think they were shopping for boots. I don't think they were doing anything else but this. They were worshiping the Lord. Because the second thing that Joshua tells the people of God to do in these days before they are to go across the Jordan is to first sanctify yourselves. They are to make themselves holy, clean, to be made holy, because their heart needs to be prepared when God came near in the Ark of the Covenant and when they could see God's work and value its significance as the power of God is displayed and does wonders by taking this river and making it stop. When it says wonders in this passage, you know that that's the same word that's used to describe Israel's escape out of Egypt? And what happened there? Marvelous acts occurred. Not only all of the things that God did, you know, the Nile turned to blood, all of the other things, but they came to a great obstacle called the Red Sea. How are we going to get across? But God is the God of wonders. When God says, Joshua says, God is going to do wonders, it reminds this group of God's people, Israel, that he is going to be the same God that delivered the people of God from Egypt. Now he's going to deliver them across this river. And he assures them of the power of God. God will drive out the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. He will do it. It's not the people that are going to do it. He will do it. And it says in the original Hebrew, driving out, he will drive out. It's an accentuation. It's a claim that's made. It's doubled, if you will, so that the people will see that it's God who is going to be the one that does the driving out. And the people that are listed there, we've already read them, they're the ones that God is going to drive out. He's going to defeat them. He's going to stop the Jordan. He's going to destroy the mighty nations. He's going to show himself to be the God who saves and blesses and rescues his people in all of their perplexities. And the people of Israel are going to cross this river on dry ground. Now that would be exactly opposite of what we would think would happen. We would look at the river and say it's impossible to cross it. But God is the God who is able to do all things. Lots of people believe that there was some natural occurrence. You know, if you read the people that write commentaries, and some of them are simply put, they're just unbelievers. They come across this passage and they say, well, there was an earthquake that happened, and we've seen that in history, and it kind of blocked the waters here and this and that and the other. And I'm thinking, well, let's say that an earthquake did happen. If it kind of blocked the waters, how in the wide world of sports did that ground become dry ground? Dry ground. You know, if you go to the ocean, the lakeshore of Michigan, as I said a little while ago, and the water comes back where it was, it's wet. You'll step in it. If it's really wet, your feet will go down a little bit. But the Israelites walked across on dry ground. The people that try to tell us that this was a natural occurrence, that it was not a miracle, go to great lengths to try to deny the sovereign power of God. But it's only a miracle that accounts for the dry ground when the priests stepped into the Jordan. They crossed on dry ground because the living God was among them. They crossed on dry ground because only God could do this. Keep them safe. Defeat their enemies. He is the same infinite, all-powerful, eternal, supreme, sovereign God that still lives today and calls forth his blessings upon his people through Jesus Christ the Lord. He is Lord over heaven and earth. He is the Savior of all who trust in him. He is in your life if you've come to him by faith in Jesus Christ, because he is one with the covenant people of God, and he is the one that we are to hear, he is the one that we are to trust, and he is the one that we are to worship and obey. Hear God's word, and may that word have its infinite and abundant blessing in your life today. Amen.